Akiv, you there?
Yeah.
All right. So before we get to today's podcast for the Giants, we thought we would just give a brief explanation. This one's a little bit different than some of the others. Our intro is more of a stream of consciousness, almost like a live feed, because talking to Berliner pre-air, Akiva thought that it was gold. In fact, he said, and I quote, quoting both Akiva and Kenny Banya, he said, "This is gold, Jerry, gold." So I think that's how we're going to do it. So I'm warning you that this is going to sort of just start, and you're going to feel like you're in the middle of a conversation, sort of Marc Maron style, between myself and Akiva and Josh Berliner, who won't really get formally introduced until we're about 10 minutes in. And Akiva, also, we need to issue our first ever correction.
Oh boy, what did we do wrong?
Yeah, our fact checkers have confirmed that we made our first ever error. We've literally never made any mistake at all. But in the Panthers podcast, I told the story and attributed it to A.B. Sutton. To be specific, I claimed that A.B. had been told that Mike Piazza had died in a car accident and that he had cried. Our sources now confirm that this happened to someone else. And A.B. also confirmed that he would not have cried if Piazza had died. But he did say that he may have cried if Piazza had tested positive for steroids.
But not if he died?
Yeah. He also accused me of confusing him with both the person who the story happened to and also with Wilmer Flores. So, look, there's a lot of crying in Mets baseball. It's hard to keep track of who's crying, why, and when.
It's true. I do a lot of crying about the Mets.
Yeah, that's also true. I don't know if we actually got to this, but would you have cried if Mike Piazza had died at sort of the peak of his powers?
Yeah, I'd say when I was in the car, I was driving upstate. And I heard on WFAN that the Mets had traded on a Friday for, it was so shocking when they traded to Piazza and they got him from the Marlins, because the Marlins had obviously just traded for him and nobody knew that they were just renting him because the Marlins are clinically insane. Yeah, like it was such a high, and like Piazza was by far the best player we'd ever had. Yeah, for sure. I would have cried.
Yeah, I mean, I cried when Kirby Puckett's demise came too soon.
Yeah, but he was no longer providing any value for your...
No, I don't mean when he died. I mean when his career ended.
So you didn't cry when he died. You were fine with that.
Well, I was sad, but he had become sad. You know, his post-baseball life took some very dark turns.
Sure.
You know, legally and in terms of his weight and gastronomically. I don't know what the word is to describe that. You know, now that we're talking about Mets baseball for a second and Mike Piazza, I've had this argument with other Mets fans before. I'm just going to try and present it in the most slanted way I can. You acknowledge that Carlos Beltran was a significantly better Met than Mike Piazza, right?
No, I don't acknowledge that.
There we go. Exactly.
Are you insane? I mean, Carlos Beltran in the 2006 playoffs was certainly better than Piazza ever was in the playoffs. Carlos Beltran was a great player. And I guess if you factor in defense and, you know, positional value, then...
Well, I mean, Mike Piazza, positional value, he was a catcher.
Yeah, that's true. But he wasn't actually good at his position.
This is why I bring it up, because, Beltran played 7 seasons for the Mets. He had 31.3 WAR. Mike Piazza, he played 8 seasons for the Mets. He had 24 WAR. So Beltran was a third better than Piazza.
Yeah, but Piazza just fell apart at the end. He was an old catcher.
Okay, so.
In his absolute apex, was his best WAR season better than Beltran's?
So first of all, he had no negative WAR. So it's not like his apex was his first season on the Mets. He had 5.4. And no, Beltran was definitely better than that.
Yeah, I mean, Beltran in 2006 had 1,000 OPS and a gold glove center field. I mean, he was a monster.
Beltran in 06, 07, 08 was better all 3 seasons than Piazza's best season in New York. And Beltran also is, you know, the greatest postseason baseball player of our lifetimes. And of course, he's most famous for a strikeout and not how insanely good he was in the rest of the playoffs for every team, for Houston and for the Mets. But yeah, that's all I wanted to get off my chest.
Catchers also only play like 120 games at most. You know, Beltran, I see, played 161 one of those seasons.
Well, I mean, so yeah, that's part of it. But I'm just saying that every Mets fan loves Piazza more than Beltran, but Beltran was a significantly better player. And they'll both be in the Hall of Fame.
Oh, really? You think Beltran's for sure a Hall of Famer?
He should be. Will he be? I don't know. Look, Adrian Beltre isn't for sure a Hall of Famer.
I'm certainly not considered to be a lock Hall of Famer, Beltran.
Well, yeah, that's why I mentioned Adrian Beltre, because he also, I mean, he's a no-doubt Hall of Famer.
Right. Well, Beltre's weird because he started when he was like 14.
Yeah.
Like, literally, he was one of the youngest, you know.
Yeah, that insane season for the Dodgers. And by the way, this is a preview to a New York Giants football podcast.
Yeah, and Beltre also has, I mean, like Beltran, has a tremendous amount of defensive value also.
Yeah, so, I mean, look, his career WAR right now is at 67.7, and he's basically done. It really depends on the reputation. I mean, 70 should be in the Hall of Fame. Anything over 60 is, you know, probably a Hall of Famer.
Yeah, he might not even get to 400 homers, which I know is a benchmark maybe for
Well, that's the thing. Because he has so much defensive value and the traditional voters, you know, don't really pay attention to that. And as you said, you know, he's just shy of...
By the way, you realize that's ironic, right? Like, the traditional voters don't value defense. Even though they would acknowledge that he was a very good defender, they would definitely wouldn't argue that.
Well, that's why it's so stupid. Because when sabermetrics first came to the fore, the joke about the A's is that all they cared about was power. You know, just walks and homers. And the main thing that advanced stats do now is they take into account positional value and defense and base running, all sort of the small ball aspects of the game. And yet the so-called traditionalists poo-poo the stats that, for example, are the reason that we know that Mike Trout is the best player in baseball. But
Beltran only had two seasons where he was a top 10 MVP. That's kind of crazy.
Well, and that's part of what I'm saying, that his value was so much higher than the idiot voters gave him credit for, which is why he might have a problem in the Hall of Fame, even though he should be there. And if you're wondering why we're talking about Carlos Beltran's Hall of Fame prospects...
I don't even know how we got to it.
You shouldn't wonder, because I can warn you that the first 10 minutes of this podcast are going to involve a detailed analysis of the 1992 New York Jets season. So there's going to be a lot of meandering in today's episode. But if you have any feelings about Akiva or me or Berliner, hopefully you'll be somewhat entertained. Or if you hate a few of the people who really take a beating in this episode, the state of Florida, I think, is going to be in for trouble again this episode. I think poor Aaron Kornhauser gets a little bit of the runaround for his poor performance in yours and Berliner's fantasy football league. Is there anybody else we hate in this episode?
I guess every team playing the Giants.
I don't know. Yeah, Josh Berliner, usually a pessimistic guy, but he might have high hopes for the Giants this year. We'll have to wait and see.
High-ish. I'll say high-ish hopes.
Yeah, and spoiler alert, wait till the all the way end of the episode after the music if you want to get the inside scoop. But I'm going to try and stop holding our listeners' hands and trust them to figure it out for themselves. All right, so let's turn to Josh Berliner and the Giants.
I'm eating a cantaloupe.
So you know I don't like cantaloupe. I've never had one.
Yeah, that's crazy to me.
Any type of melon is horrible.
You don't like watermelon?
Like the most disgusting of all the melons.
Go to Melech Avatiach. It's on the corner of like...
No, I don't. I'm not going to eat watermelon unless it's watermelon taffy. Watermelons are disgusting.
God, on a hot summer night, there's nothing better. Last night, I had like 17 pieces of watermelon.
I don't even understand why it would be good on a hot summer night.
Have you had it, or are you just... The idea upsets you for some...
I've probably like tasted like a little bit of it, and I know it's disgusting.
Your culinary habits are so weird.
Yeah, but it's also the texture. You know, I'm into the textures of this stuff, and...
But what's the texture?
It's weird. It's like cold, but it's like weird. It's just like you're biting into like a soft brick. I should really do a food podcast on the side.
Well, okay, so you've seen my fruit rankings, right? I actually emailed them to your Seinfeld podcast.
I don't remember your fruit rankings. But I eat a ton of fruit. I just had a banana, an apple, and a plum because my wife is bringing that dinner like much later.
Yeah, I had a plum today also, person. Actually. So... Yeah, when you guys did the mango episode of Seinfeld, I emailed you a link to my Facebook post of my fruit rankings.
Really? I don't think we definitely didn't talk about it on air, right?
You didn't talk about it. I didn't mention it in the email. It was an embedded link.
Oh, I don't remember seeing it.
What I said in the email was, you know, I've been on record as saying that the mango is the number one fruit, and then that was the link. That were those words.
Yeah, mango is really hit or miss. Like, the best mango is better than anything, but bad mango is just nothing.
I mean, a bad mango when it's hard and sort of doesn't have a taste, you mean?
No, some of them you bite in and you're like, oh, this is going to be good, and there's just nothing there.
So
like,
the
it was probably
is,
there yet?
I eat a mango like an apple. I eat the peel, I eat everything.
By the way, we should have done like seven of these in a night. That would have been funny.
Yeah, but the mango peel is where it's at. It's really good. A lot of good.
I don't know what the mango, like, I always get it, like, I see it pre-sliced and stuff. What about dried fruit? How are you with dried fruit?
No. Out. I'm out.
I got really into dried fruit, but literally it's like 8,000 shekel for like one thing.
Yeah,
my wife's
so
like,
expensive.
Oh, you got to conserve these.
Yeah, I'm not about the dried fruit. So Dimitri Martin brought this up, I think, in his stand-up special, the one on Netflix. What the hell is prune juice? And I've been asking people. Nobody's giving me a solid answer.
You mean because when you squeeze a prune?
Yeah, we don't call grape juice raisin juice. Prunes are just dried, like dried out plums.
Yeah, that's weird. I don't know. I've never had it.
After you make plum
it.
Juice, you have juice in one cup, and then you have a bunch
now,
of
now
prunes
I gotta
in the
check
other
up
cup.
That. No,
right?
Just kidding. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. Are we waiting for JB here?
He's here. Josh?
Yeah, hey.
This isn't even on air.
By the way, if you look in the supermarket, a lot of companies rebrand their prunes as dried plums or as plums.
Because prunes sounds gross. It sounds like something you only eat when you're constipated.
Well, they want to, you know, they want to appeal to those fickle millennials.
Yeah.
It's really. All right.
Josh, what's your opinion on bologna? I've had a lot of
like,
bologna.
Like the processed.
Yeah.
Akiva, Josh doesn't listen to the Seinfeld podcast until.
I know that's why we're asking him.
He waits until Rob tweets it out.
It's not my first go-to, but you know.
Josh, what would you put on it if you had
anybody
ketchup, mustard?
Is anybody eating a bologna sandwich in 1995, by which I mean 2015?
Is anyone eating a bologna sandwich?
If your coworker brought bologna.
No, not your coworker. If you walked into your building when you were still living on the Upper West Side, and one of your neighbors had a plate of bologna sandwiches and offered you one, would you take it?
Probably not. It's not the first, you know. In this day and age, it's not the first meal I'm reaching.
If you were hungry and someone offered you a bologna sandwich.
What if that neighbor was Jerry Seinfeld? Does that change the calculation at all?
If Seinfeld offered me a bologna
sandwich?
Jerry
Seinfeld says, here, would you like a kosher bologna sandwich?
Yeah, of course it does.
And so you take it then.
Isn't there like a show about this? Comedians in cars eating bologna sandwiches?
Yeah, that one. That's the show you're on right now, actually. Comedians sitting on their couches.
We're wasting all this gold.
We gotta get rolling here.
Yeah, we do. Oh my gosh, so many of these. We really should do another one after this.
Yeah, and I have to edit each one of these afterwards, Akiva.
Well, you don't have to edit them right now, except for the campus.
Akiva's pulled off the perfect shtick, which is claiming complete incompetence at everything he does.
Listen, I want to make this clear, Chester. I made it very clear from the beginning. I said, I cannot edit. I knew I needed an Ari Gold who did this.
My roommate in law school was, fresh out of, Touro College. He wasn't even 21 when we started. He was the most clueless guy in the universe. I mean, he knew how to do nothing. The week that I was gone for a week, he literally ate nothing but candy bars for a week.
Yeah. By the way, Chester, I undersell how clueless I am. Wife.
So I'm giving you the example. So we're cleaning a kosher in the kitchen the beginning of our 1L year, and he can't do anything. And so I say, all right, how about can you do this? I take out the glass dish from the microwave. I'm like, can you just go wash this? So, and I'm in the kitchen, so he takes it to the bathtub, drops it in the bathtub, broken glass everywhere, which, by the way, is the one place in the house where you're always barefoot.
Oh, boy.
Although the better part was, he called me one day. This is when I was still in Boston. He calls me. I'm not in the house. He's like, listen, man, I'm starving. I need to eat something. I said, well, we have whatever it was, something that you just microwave. I said, just eat that. He's like, all right, how do I make it? I said, there's instructions on the package. So he calls back 2 minutes later. He says, all right, we can't make this. I'm like, why? He says, well, it says put it in a microwave oven. I'm like, yes, what's the issue? He's like, we don't have a microwave oven. We have a microwave.
Oh, man. So this guy is even worse than
Hold on. I got a better one.
That's really bad. This guy was in Harvard.
Yeah, the first Shabbos of the year, they had asparagus at the meal. And, and he's like, what the hell are those green beans? He had never seen
That's
asparagus
amazing.
Before.
All yes, right, this guy
hold
sounds
hold
worse
on,
than me.
Hold on.
But can he drive? Can he
by
drive,
way, this
Chester?
Is Brody. I wanted him to be my Giants guest if it wasn't going to be Berliner.
Yeah, Berliner was choice plan A1. Where's the deal? What's the deal with this guy? Can he drive? We should have an incompetent off me.
He's given me a ride before.
So this guy is... He's got so I'm not like that, like malapropism stuff, but...
Man, he's got you beat for sure.
He's probably more competent. Like the first year and a half we were married, my wife did the dishes after I went to sleep. Like, she redid them. Because I would do them, but I was so bad. Like, I didn't know what I was doing, but she didn't want me to not do them because then she'd be stuck forever.
But what's the skill on a dish? You just wash off visible dirtiness.
I just, didn't know how to do it. I don't know.
Well, what didn't you know how to do?
Didn't know how to get it clean. Didn't know how to scrub.
All right.
But now I do the dishes.
We got Josh in here. All right, so we're all good to go. All right, so we're just going to jump into the interview, Josh.
All right.
All right, Akiva, our guest has joined us to talk about the 14th-ranked New York Football Giants, and that's Joshua Berliner. Josh, how are you today?
Hi, good evening. I'm doing great. How are you guys doing?
We are excellent. Akiva, I got to tell you, Josh is probably the first Giants fan that I knew,
Who could write complete sentences?
Oh, that also. But, shots fired right across the bow from the Jets fan to the Giants fan. But I moved to New York, and Josh and I lived in the same building for a few years. And he had season tickets to the Giants, and the Vikings and Giants played a number of games together in New York during that period, including a couple of famous playoff games. So
they
you
remind
would,
me of that, some of the games during that period.
Yeah, so you would assume, Akiva, that with those season tickets that I went to a bunch of games with Josh, correct?
Yeah, I mean, I had Jets tickets, and I took, the fan of the opposing team all the time growing up.
Josh's father forbade him from taking the fan of an opposing team.
Ah, oh, okay, so he's stricter than Howard Wienerker.
But instead of taking me, guess who went to a game and sat in Josh's family seats?
Was it Shemaya?
No, it was our English teacher.
Oh, that's absurd. Although in third grade, my rabbi always talked about how I had Jets season tickets. So one time when the Jets were really bad in December of whenever we were in third grade, what is it, 92?
Yeah.
The Jets were bad, and I gave him the tickets, and he everyone was like, oh, he had such a good time, whatever. And then my friend went into his drawer, on Tuesday after the game, and all four tickets were still there.
Wait, did he lie to you and say that he enjoyed it?
I think so. I think he like said he had had a good time, but then the tickets were still there. And like,
well,
it wasn't like,
here's the thing.
Now you still have the tickets, but back, like back in the day, you needed your tickets ripped. Like they wouldn't have still been there.
Well, here's the thing. Here were their last three home games in 1992. They lost 23-7 to the Chiefs, 10-6 to the Colts, and 20-0 to the Saints.
Okay, so get ready for like some crazy person talk. So 23-7 was the game where Dennis Byrd got paralyzed.
Oh,
I was at that game.
Well, I was just going to say this guy did not have a good time, but you were there. So, you didn't have a good time, but you remember it.
If I remember correctly, it was November 29th, 1992, right? And that's when Dennis Byrd got paralyzed. It was right in front of my side of the field, section 220 in Giant Stadium.
That's all correct so far.
I just remember, and again, this is all without any Google or anything. I just remember like being very annoyed. He crashed with his best friend Scott Mercero. I remember being very annoyed that like the game wasn't happening for half hour. Nobody knew Bird was paralyzed yet until maybe the next day.
Why didn't you just check Twitter on your phones?
But here's the thing: I do think, from my wacky Jets memory, that Saints game was the Saturday game, so the rabbi would not have been going to the Saturday game. So it had to be, what was the middle game you said?
You are correct.
The Colts?
Yeah, it was the Colts on December 13th.
This is, by the way, people should be like bowing down right now.
This is very
schedule.
Impressive. This is very impressive.
Yes. Yeah,
incredible.
So I think it must have been that that Colts game, and he didn't go. And what the hell? It must have been like Hanukkah also, because why wouldn't we have had school on Sunday? We had Sunday school when I was a kid.
Well, let me ask you a question. You've shown an incredible amount of knowledge for random games that your team played in 1992. You weren't at that Colts game because you gave the tickets away. If you can tell me, 10-6. If you can tell me the Colts touchdown, who scored it, the quarterback who threw it, or the receiver who caught it, then I will be blown away.
Was it Jeff Trudeau?
It was Jack Trudeau.
Jack Trudeau. Sorry, Jack Trudeau.
I'm in shock. By the way, Jeff George was their quarterback in that game.
He got injured.
Okay,
I was just thinking, like, who would be the backup? Trudeau. I have no idea who he would have thrown it to.
He threw it to a guy by the name of Charles Arbuckle.
No, I don't remember him. But, yeah, I saw Trudeau, I think, play a couple times, if I'm not mistaken. Like,
but I just want to point out, so you lost to the Colts at home 10-6, and you're like, boy, what a bad game. Do you know what the score was in the first game you guys played that season?
They got destroyed.
No. You lost 6-3 in overtime.
Oh. I don't remember the 6-3 in Indianapolis game.
So you guys doubled the score. 10-6.
We had a couple really low scoring games because their defense was pretty decent then. In, I think, 93, we played the only 3-0 game that I can remember of the last 25 years. We went to Washington on a Saturday. I didn't even see the game. And we beat the Redskins 3-0 in Washington.
But
they played a lot. If you go through the 90s Jets schedule, they played a bunch of games with like the Colts and the Steelers that were like 6-3, 10-6. And I sat through all of them. Like, I remember I had a streak where, like, I went to, like, 5 straight Jets games where there was, like, 1 touchdown scored total.
I just want to point out, by the way, that game against the Colts was not on Hanukkah. It was the 18th of the Jewish month of Kislev, which means it was a week before Hanukkah.
Yeah, but I there had to be a reason why he could go, unless maybe it was a 4 o'clock game and he said he would drive afterwards. That actually is possible. Because, Sunday school would be over by noon or something. And I wouldn't go when I had a Jet game. I would just skip Sunday school. But
it was a 1 p.m. game.
Yes, so I wonder
Hold on. Let's ask our guest.
I don't know.
Josh, we brought you onto this podcast because of your expertise in the 1992 New York Jets. So tell us, why did Rabbi Florence not have to be in school that morning?
Excuse me? I don't. This is a little above my pay grade, gentlemen.
By the way, before we came on the air, we were discussing fruits. I was eating a cantaloupe at the time, and a Kiva poo-pooed cantaloupe. I'm now eating a peach. What are your comments on peaches?
Excellent. If you get a good peach, it's not too mealy. It's not too late in the season. I'm all for it. But you got to make sure that you get the right one. Otherwise, none of them are good, and you're never going to take them out of the fridge, and they're just money down the drain.
No, you're right. Peaches are really, really hit or miss, but this was a home run. And I got to give a shout-out to my wife because she actually ate half the peach and then left it here, and she said, you can finish this peach, and she went to bed. But so thank you, wife, if you're listening to this, which I assume you won't be.
Thank you, wife.
All right, so now that we've had a number of digressions, let's turn and focus on the 2015 New York Giants. Josh, the Giants are a team that people seem to be relatively high on, given the season that they had last year. Akiva and I, as we said, in our cumulative rankings, we have them all the way up at number 14, but there's a little bit of a split there. Akiva has them at 12, which is really quite good. That's, you know, borderline contender status. I have them down at 19. So just as a reminder, this is a team that went 6-10 last year, which was their second consecutive losing season. They had, you know, they've had an abysmal defense for 3 of the last 4 years. Let me ask you, as a Giants fan, obviously, you know, as a fan, you're optimistic, but sort of realistically, do you think that, number 12, that, you know, that they should be a playoff team, or do you think number 19, maybe on the edge of the playoff race, is more realistic for this team going into the season?
Well, you know, I think that they're a really tough team to peg, because the last decade, from my seat as a fan, has shown that really when you expect the least from them, they will, you know, they'll surprise you and indeed go all the way and finish the whole thing. Each of the seasons that they won the Super Bowl, we really thought, you know, nothing of this team. They're not coming together. They don't have what it takes. Eli's a bust. And then somehow, you know, they get the incredible season when they were a wild card team and beat the Patriots, and then they get the Victor Cruz season. There's, you know, always something that comes up. So, you know, the last couple of years, I think we had higher hopes, and sure enough, they were abysmal. Although last year, I think you really got a sense that they were going to struggle. The line play was really lacking from the beginning. So this year, you know, I look at the team, I almost throw up my hands. You know, in certain positions they can get it done. They have the quarterback, they have the receivers, and, you know, certain things are looking better. Obviously, the defensive line might be a little disappointing this year, considering they lost their best player to a holiday mishap. And their safeties are really banged up so far this preseason. But that in itself, for a Giants fan, is reason to hope that when you think they have like nothing to show, right? A team that struggles in the preseason and a team that struggles in camp has everything to work on. They have all the tape they need, I guess, to improve and to button up, and they can address their problems early on, as opposed to a team that, you know, where all the pieces seem to be in place already. Then they don't have an opportunity to get it together and to improve and to tighten things up during the year. So as a fan, that's how I feel. That's my reason to be optimistic, is the fact that they seem like this lumpen, misshapen clay at this point in the year.
Well, let me ask you, you know, Tom Coughlin, he's about to start his 12th season as their coach, which is incredible in this day and age. He's also turning 69 in a couple of days. And he always looks like he's about to lose, you know, various extremities on his face to the cold. You know, if they have a third straight losing season, is he on the hot seat? Will he maybe not be fired? Maybe they'll sort of ask him to retire. But will he be their coach at this time next year if they don't make the playoffs this year?
Well, you know, that's what everybody wants to know, is that, you know, you've got these three guys who really kind of came up together. One is the head coach, and one is the general manager, and one is the quarterback. And you figure that the quarterback isn't going anywhere. So, you know, who's it going to be? Is it going to be the general manager who came up, you know, it was his first GM job, and then they won 2 Super Bowls with him? Is it going to be the coach who's going to go? It's not, and the guys on the radio seem to agree that Coughlin pretty much, I think, writes his own ticket, you know, in this town and with this team, but he happens to be just, you know, he's probably near the end of his career anyway. So the truth is, I'm not sure what's going to happen with Coughlin. I'd be surprised if he's back, I think, at all in 2 years, you know, whether success or failure. He may just, you know, feel like retiring. You know, I think a bigger question is the general manager.
And, you know, it's interesting, again, because, you know, you mentioned that the three of them have been around together, you know, all since 2004, basically. And in that period, it's been such an interesting franchise, because they've never been a serious contender. But they've won 2 Super Bowls, and they did it, you know, they did it as a 9-7 team that barely snuck into the playoffs, that looked like they were falling apart, and then they turned it on for 4 games when it mattered. And other than those 2 Super Bowl runs, they haven't even won a playoff game in that whole 12-year period. Now, of course, you can't say other than when you've won 2 Super Bowls in the last 11 years. That's an incredible legacy. And Coughlin and Eli might go into the Hall of Fame one day together for that very reason. But at the same time, it is interesting because, you know, Coughlin's lost, you know, had 2 straight losing seasons in a row. And I've looked, a Giants coach hasn't survived back-to-back losing seasons since Ray Perkins in the early 80s. So if they have a third losing season, now, as you said, maybe he, you know, can sort of gracefully retire. But I guess you know, towards the end of this podcast, we'll go through the schedule and we'll see whether you actually see it as a winning season or a losing season. But you know, on that note, let's jump right into it, and let's start on offense, where, you know, Eli came off just a fantastic year last year. The year before, he was possibly the worst quarterback in the NFL, certainly the worst to start all 16 games. You know, there were teams with worse situations. He led the league in interceptions, and he really looked like, you know, maybe he was into his 30s and he was on the downswing of his career. But last year, he stepped up, had a marvelous season. He had a career-high QBR. He had, you know, 30 touchdowns for only the second time in his career. He had 14 interceptions, which is the lowest he had had, the second lowest of his career. The only previous time that he had fewer was 2008. So, you know, Eli really had an incredible season. And, of course, part of that, Akiva will say, yeah, well, because if you throw it up anywhere, you know, within the zip code of Odell Beckham Jr., he's pulling it down for a touchdown. So that certainly makes it easier. But now with possibly Victor Cruz coming back, Odell Beckham Jr., if he can stay healthy for a full season, and you've added Shane Vereen to your, you know, trio of running backs in the backfield, how good can this offense be this year?
Yeah, so, you know, a couple of things that, you know, stand out the last 2 years, or I would say last year. Remember, Odell Beckham Jr. only played 12 games last year, right? And I don't know how many Cruz played, six or seven or so. So it's not like he had, you know, the whole, you know, the regular crew working with him the whole year. People, you know, may forget that Larry Donnell was this, you know, name early in the season. He was catching touchdowns left and right, and that's who Eli had to work with. One thing that changed last year was they picked up a new offensive coordinator. I think it was their first new coordinator since, I want to say, 2006. That's when Kevin Gilbride took over the offense, and he was basically there until 2013. In 2014, they picked up this Ben McAdoo from Green Bay, and he was supposed to have this system that would fit Eli well, and I guess it has, because, like you said, he had, you know, one of the best years of his career last year, if not the best. And again, watching as a fan 2 seasons ago, what did he have, 25 interceptions, I think?
27.
27, but, I mean, just every, you know, there were so many deflections. Maybe 15 interceptions were off deflections or something. But, you know, again, I'm an Eli apologist. I'm not going to be, you know, shy about that. Can they get it done this year? You know, I'm going to say just like last year. It's you can't overstate the role that the offensive line is going to play. If they're up to the challenge, they have some young players on the line. They've you know, drafted a line in the last few years. Then it'll be everything. But I could tell you that last year, watching this team, only 6 wins, there was absolutely no time. And when you look at Eli's numbers, it's absolutely mind-boggling that he had the season he did. I mean, every handoff, every pass, there was somebody in the backfield harassing him. So that's the only thing I want to see from this team is, you know, Eli Manning's a cerebral quarterback. You know, some guys, we look at, you know, Robert Griffin III, he's running the triple pistol option, and he only sees one receiver on the field. But Eli sees 4 or 5 receivers on the field sometimes, you know. But you got to have, you know, the line has to hold up in order to be able to execute the play.
Is there a reason to believe that the offensive line, I mean, you guys drafted Eric Flowers, who spells his name really unfortunately, right, E-R-E-C-K, and you lost Will Beatty. Is there any reason to believe that the O-line will be substantially better than last year?
I would say that, you know, for me, one indicator or one reason to hope would be that just because they had such a disastrous year last year, that they can look at the tape and they can adjust the schemes and they can adjust the offense and make some changes. Jeff Schwartz was a big free agent signing they brought in to be on the offensive line last year, and the guy barely played. He was injured almost the entire year. I don't know if he's going to play in the opener on Rosh Hashanah. He's from the Yiddish.
Yeah, I was going to say, you might see him in synagogue that day.
Yeah, so and he lives up here in Bergen County. So, you know, hopefully he'll come back healthy. I think they're moving Pugh, who they took 2 years ago in the first round of the draft. He was playing at a position, so I think now they're going to slot him back in. So, you know, they'll move things around, and hopefully they'll be healthier this year. There's the reason to hope.
Do you think that there's going to be one running back emerging from the Jennings, Vereen, Williams trio, or is it going to be committee, or does it not matter because none of them are especially good? What do you think?
Based on the last few years, I see in my crystal, you know, I hope this isn't the case, but I would have to predict that it would be some sort of, you know, unconventional committee. Is that in the first 4 games you're going to have one running back stand out and emerge, and then, you know, maybe there'll be some sort of incident where he's not able to play anymore. You know, I don't want to say an injury, but, you know, something to that, you know, effect. And then you'll have another, you know, third of the season. Then, you know, you'll have a third trimester in the season where, you know, that's how these things usually go, is that it seems like from watching the Giants, a few years ago when they had success, they had Brandon Jacobs and Ahmad Bradshaw and Derek Ward. So maybe, you know, if things go well, it might be something like that. And also last year also, you know, you never heard of Andre Williams while Jennings was playing, and he went down injured, and then you had this other guy come up. And, of course, you know, he's got his delicate history, so, you know, maybe it'll be something like that. That's just from what I've come to expect the last few years.
All right, Josh, we've reached the stage in the podcast where Akiva laughs maniacally as he humiliates our guest. He plays a game called the roster game, and what he's going to see is basically test how many of the 90 guys at camp that you know. And so far, we haven't had a fan yet who's known these guys because, you know, we keep getting bad luck, and they're guessing the randomest guys on the roster. But what he's going to ask you to do is pick a number between 1 and 100, and he's randomly assigned each player a number. So just pick a number, and he's going to throw a name at you and tell us what you know about the guy, if anything.
62.
Okay. So, Josh, tell us what you know about Tremaine McBride.
He plays in the secondary. I think he's a cornerback.
Mm-hmm.
He actually played pretty well. I think it was last year. There were a bunch of cornerbacks that went down, and McBride stepped up, and he showed promise. I don't remember exactly what happened, but I want to say that maybe he himself went down to injury as well.
Yeah, but he actually played very well before he got hurt. Yeah.
Oh. Have you heard of him? I've never heard of him before.
Yeah, McBride. I've heard of him. Yeah, I watch a lot of Giants. I get punished.
They had Dominique Rogers Cromartie and Prince Amukamara, and I think both those guys went down to injury, and McBride really stepped up.
Yeah, because I was going to say, whatever you think of their corners, they have the best names in the league. I mean, Tremaine McBride, that just sounds like a cornerback. And then, of course, Dominique Rogers Cromartie is a great name, and Prince Amukamara is just a fantastic name. So, you know, their name game is on point in the secondary, at least.
And, Alex, I commend you for pronouncing Prince Amukamara's name correctly.
Yeah, reasonably. I think I got it actually better than I got Tremaine McBride. So. All right, throw another number at us.
8.
Okay, Josh, what do you know about George Selvey?
George Selvey?
Yes.
Nothing.
Really? Selvey is, certainly now he's going to start because Jason Pierre-Paul is who knows where, but he was probably going to be the starting end, I guess, probably now with Robert Ayers, Ayers, or however you pronounce that. Selvey was, who was on Selvey on last year?
I don't know, but when you Google George Selvey, the first thing you find is an Ameriprise financial advisor in Seattle, Washington. So he's got to work on his Google
his
presence.
Reputation.
And then there's an obituary for a George Selvey on the same page.
Oh, no. R.I.P. Maybe that I would, you know, the defensive ends are having a tough spring for the Giants. I think Selvey's really bounced around a lot. He was on the Rams, the Panthers, the Jaguars, but he played really well the last 2 years for the Cowboys, so the Giants signed him.
Great.
Are you want to do another number?
Sure. Let's do number 2.
Sorry, that's the Giants mybobs.com ad, if anybody can hear it. What'd you say, number 2?
Number 2.
Okay.
By the way, before we get to number 2, George Selvey has almost 16,000 followers on Twitter.
Yeah, he's a popular guy, Selvey. He was a really good college player.
All right, we're going to play another game. It's called Biblical Verse Game. His Twitter profile is a quote, and if you can guess the book from the New Testament from which this quote comes, you will win 2 free tickets to the Giants game this year of your choice. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for the evidence of things not seen. Do I have a guess? What book of the New Testament is that from, or the Old Testament?
Yeah, I don't know. I need choices. I'd need, like, to know the name of the books. Luke. Is it a Luke?
It's a Hebrews. No, Hebrews. Hebrews.
Oh.
Oh, I didn't even give Josh a chance.
Give
Josh,
a chance.
Are you going to say Hebrews?
I was going to say Paul's letter to the Hebrews.
There you go. Can I get a chapter and verse?
6:4.
11. I think it's chapter 11, verse 1, unless it's the reverse. To be honest, I haven't reviewed Hebrews in a while.
Yeah. All right, so Josh, your number, your player is Demontre Moore.
Oh, the monster. Yeah, Demontre Moore, I think he was taken in the draft, I want to say in, what year are we now? I want to say 2013.
Correct.
So, he's an end, I believe.
Yep.
He's had some very good preseasons. He's had some big sacks early in the season. But, of course, remember, the last 2 years for this team have been disastrous. So, you know, when the season begins and he's got, you know, the hype and he's playing well and doing some big things, but then, you know, the wheels start to come off and you can't get excited anymore about in the middle of the season when these things are, but he's one of these very young, exciting defensive ends that we're looking forward to seeing really develop and make a contribution.
All right, I think the name game has segued us right into the defense. 98,
maybe, DeMond Schumann?
Oh, I was going to say, I think, I don't know, what's his number? Akiva, you know his number?
It's 98.
90-something.
98, oh, there I go. Okay, all right.
Josh is really on top of things here. All right, so let's segue right into the defense, you know, having covered a couple of the defensive guys in the name game. Let's start up front. What the hell is going on with Jason Pierre-Paul? How many fingers does he have? What's his status? Is he going to play this year?
Listen, I don't think anybody knows. You know, I don't know if the owners know yet. I'm not sure if they've – I assume he's in camp, right? I read that they wanted to give him the money, but he's got to come and he's got to sit in meetings, and I guess he's got to ride the bike or something. I don't know. One of the big misgivings I hear from people is that you know, it's not that an end can't play with nine fingers. It's that, you know, you can't lift, I guess, with nine fingers, and that'll affect his conditioning and his strength. You know, I'm just not holding too much in the mechanics of this kind of thing. I don't know that anybody really knows what the story is. I saw the New York Post or the Daily News, I think, had a story where they were trying to see. I don't think anybody's seen his band. I'm not really sure. Do I think he'll play again? I don't know. I'm not really optimistic, but then again, you know, I don't know that they would have brought him back at all if he wouldn't play. So,
Josh, are you a fireworks guy? Ever take a day off from a camp in rural Pennsylvania to go buy some fireworks?
Who hasn't? Who hasn't?
Yeah, but hopefully you didn't blow off
his
fingers.
I just get my fall guy to light it for me.
Yeah, exactly. Well, yeah, Chris Carter said you got to get a fireworks/fall guy. Exactly.
If you're gonna, you know, right. So.
Yeah, rookie mistake.
He should have listened at the symposium.
I like how the other guy next to Chris Carter, the video, by the way, is Warren Sapp, who subsequently was arrested.
Right, for like everything. It's not like he was arrested for solicitation. It's like he was arrested for beating up women. He was arrested for solicitation and beating up women.
Well, he needed multiple fall guys, apparently.
Right.
Well, let's turn to the secondary for a second. You know, we covered the corners a little bit. You know, they got rid of Antrel Roll, who I think at safety had really struggled in coverage. And they drafted Landon Collins, who, you know, I saw once or twice at Alabama. But he's sort of a guy, you know, who also struggles in pass coverage a little bit. So, as we said, this was a really bad defense last year. And even down the stretch, you know, I think the Giants lost like 7 in a row in the middle of the season. And in December, they won 3 in a row once they were already under 500 and eliminated from the playoffs. But they were still giving up 25-plus points a game. You know, and especially their pass defense was really weak. So is that going to be improved this year?
Jeez, you know, you can only hope. I mean, you know, hopefully the corners will be healthier this year. They have talent at corner. You know, we covered it, Rogers, Cromartie, and the Prince, and Tremaine McBride and company with whom we already spoke. They're really thin already in safety. They've had some devastating injuries back there in camp and in the preseason so far, including one of the draft picks. So, look, it's an opportunity for a hungry player to step up and make a difference and make a contribution. You know, on winning teams, this is what happens. Everybody pulls their weight, right? Everyone knows Ahmad Bradshaw. He's a household name. He was a seventh-round pick, but he ran for, you know, 60 yards in the Super Bowl. So, you know, if somebody can step up, an unsung hero, if it's Landon Collins or anybody else, then that's what it'll take. You know, Antrel Roll also, you know, had to play a couple of seasons at corner, you know, or out of his natural positions because, you know, they were thin. And they had success going to the Super Bowl with him back there. So,
while we're talking about the Giants secondary, I'll just mention, Josh, I don't think you were at my bachelor party, but it took place in the beautiful resort town of Atlantic City. And the evening that we spent at the club, as they say, there was one other group with bottle service that evening other than our group. And it was none other than Aaron Ross, defensive back for the New York Giants at the time. I think now he might be on the Browns or something.
No, boy, I'm telling his wife.
Yeah, well, I was going to say, and then the next thing I found out, he was, you know, like, married to Sonia Richards, who was an Olympic gold medalist in like, the 4x100 relay, and they kept showing him on the sideline cheering, and I'm not saying he was doing anything wrong, but I'll say a couple of my friends were annoyed that night, because what would happen is we kept bringing girls back to our table, and then someone from Aaron Ross's table would sidle over and say, hey, you guys want to meet a member of the New York Giants, and the girls would quickly ditch us for that table, so.
Well, you should have advertised the same thing.
But I was on the Giants?
Or, I don't know. Listen, you know, it sounds like the beginning of a tawdry pickup line. You
yeah,
know what I mean?
Joshua, the girls hanging out in Atlantic City are high class ladies. They can read right between your right through your lies.
All right, well. Well, you know, Alexander Tister, you're one of the tallest New Yorkers I've ever met, so I don't run in such a tall circle. Be a New York Giant of sorts.
I'll take it. Thank you. All right. So on that note, let's jump to the schedule. Let's see, you know, whether you see this as a bounce back season or possibly, you know, the end of the run for Tom Coughlin. And I'll say right off the bat, we're going to be seeing a lot of the Giants. Even if you don't live in New York, four of their first six games are on prime time, including one against each of their division rivals. So early in the season, people are really...
Forget that. They open up. They open up on Rosh Hashanah.
Exactly. Well, you know what? I think people are, and I actually heard that the Giants requested not to play on the Jewish New Year because of the demographics of their fan base.
Yeah, the Jets and the Giants always try that. But,
yeah, but that did not come to pass. The NFL is more excited about the nation seeing Odell Beckham Jr. than concerned about the.
I don't even think Odell Beckham keeps Rosh Hashanah, to be honest.
Yeah, I haven't checked with him. You know, I haven't seen him in Temple on Yom Kippur either. But all right, so week one, Sunday Night Football at Dallas, prime time. What happens in week one, Josh?
Well, correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe that maybe like six out of the last 7 years they've opened up on NBC against Dallas or
yeah,
feels
those
like
games
that.
Are always on Sunday night. Yeah,
I want to say last year the first time they ever lost in Dallas.
The Giants tend to seem to be better on the road than at home, including in divisional games for some strange reason.
It's been a couple of years when they lost the first six games. The last game, when you know that year that we were talking about, Eli threw 25 interceptions, a career high. They lost that game on a last-minute drive. They were in Cowboy territory, and with about...
Yeah, that was 2 years ago.
They were down by one, right. There was a, I think the tight end dropped a pass into mm-hmm. the arms of the Cowboy. That was an interception that ended the
game. Well, you guys started 0-6 that year, so.
Right, just the first inning. They always put up a million points in Dallas, which isn't really surprising. You know, they go up against the gunslinger, Tony Romo, who's, you know, flinging the ball all over the field. And they always, you know, they seem to start out with a lot of offense and a lot of fireworks. But listen, it's a tough game.
Well, we're putting you on the spot. Are you expecting a win or a loss?
Since it's since I won't be watching because of the high holidays, I'm going to guess it's a win.
There you go. And it's interesting. Perhaps there's a lot of people in Dallas who also are dealing with the high holidays because right now over 9,000 tickets are available on StubHub and starting as low as $42. So folks in Dallas are going to be in Temple that night, not at the Jerry Jones Temple, but they're going to see the Cowboys fall to the New York Giants, who then come home in week two at home to face the Atlanta Falcons.
Give me a win against the Falcons.
Well, you know what? This front-loaded schedule is actually, you know, you got a lot of primetime games, but this is really the easiest part of their schedule. The first 5 weeks of the year, it gets much tougher later. So now you're 2-0, and then on short rest, Thursday night football at home against Washington.
That's gotta be a win again. So, you know, Washington is they're just terrible. They stink from the inside out.
Yeah, well, I'm not disagreeing with you there. And then you go face your only game this season in the great state of New York against the only NFL team who actually plays in the great state of New York.
Oh, stop it.
You're at Buffalo to face the New York's own Buffalo Bills.
You know, for a team I try to be pretty realistic about, and this is, you know, this is really the first time I'm, like, looking at the schedule. I try not to obsess and do all the wins and the losses and the drooling over every game.
Yeah, but then we make you do it.
But I like them against the Bills, you know. I like them against Rex's, you know, blowheartedness and incompetence. So I got to take the Giants on the road.
Wow, 4-0. And to be fair, Josh is from New Jersey, so he should be a Giants fan instead of a Buffalo Bills fan. You know, he's from New Jersey. He roots for the New Jersey team. Then they come home again on Sunday Night Football. You know, it's really incredible how much we're going to be seeing of the Giants nationwide. And this one at 4-0 against San Francisco, who might be, you know, 0-4 at this point.
Yeah, you know, the 49ers, they got a lot of problems. They lost a lot of big players. Kaepernick is overrated, and the Giants have his number anyway. Give me a win.
5-0. Win at home. Oh. And now at 5-0, they have their fourth Sunday night game or nighttime game. This one on Monday Night Football at Philadelphia. What happens there?
Yeah, you see what's happening with the schedule here is that they want these big market teams in prime time, and the league fully expects them to suck, which is why they front loaded all their prime time games so they can't be flexed out later in the year.
Right, I think part of it is, and we always like to analyze the schedule like that when we're doing these games. I think part of it is that Beckham is so hot that he's almost now at the status of a quarterback. So, you know, the guys that they know can sell a game are Brady, Manning, Rodgers, and the Saints aren't a huge national team, but Breeze will keep you in any game because he's good. So to me, they're saying Odell Beckham Jr. is. No, he's not. He's not at that level nationally for TV. Doesn't bring in a single viewer.
What about 2003? He ran for 2,000 yards and had one of the greatest seasons of all time.
I'm saying he's not. No, people are tuning in for quarterbacks.
Adrian Peterson.
Frank Adeli right now.
No, I agree with you.
Where are the Vikings? Are the Vikings on Sunday Night Football this year at all?
No, but yeah, once. But I'm just saying, Adrian Peterson is much more famous than Odell Beckham Jr. right now.
I was discussing with my other podcast partner Rob about how. Like, what level of fame Rob Gronkowski is.
Odell Beckham Jr., does the non-football fan has never heard of him. Okay?
Yeah, I think the idea is that...
My mother and wife are very familiar with Adrian Peterson, and I'm not even talking about off the field, I'm talking about on the field. Odell Beckham
Jr. But I'll tell you what he's got going for his hashtag brand, is he has that, like, crazy red, like, carrot top.
To me, Beckham's going to become the star of the league if he's healthy in the first 6 weeks, and that's why you're seeing everyone, NBC, Fox, CBS, and ESPN, all four networks get a piece of the Giants in the first 6 weeks of the season.
Listen, that catch he had in Dallas was otherworldly. Look, I love Beckham Jr. also, but I'm just saying, you know, I don't think he's yet. He needs to do more than 12 games for a losing team to be, you know, on the radar for people who aren't already serious football fans.
He's already in the Hall of Fame in my book.
All right, so is that a win or a loss, though, at Philadelphia?
Okay, so here's the thing about Philadelphia, you know, the historic rivalry and everything else, and they've gone back and forth for the last, you know, really 30 or 40 years, you know, very, very streaky rivalry. And in fact, I remember in 2008, the Giants were the number one seed in the playoffs. They won 12 games that year, and they got the bye in the first round. And I remember telling somebody, I said, you know, the only team in the league that could beat the Giants this year, the only team of the whole gamut, right? Even Tom Brady wasn't playing because Bernard Pollard, knocked out his wheels. I said, the Eagles are the only team that could beat them if they faced them in the playoffs. And sure enough, in the first round, they played Philadelphia, and they got beat, and it was really a quick exit for them. So in Philadelphia on Monday night with Mark Sanchez under center, give me the Giants
6-0. Wow! Giants again. And now you come home for your last game against the Cowboys. You know, still in October, and this one is going to be another nationally televised game. It's at 4:30 against the Cowboys at home. Can you get the season sweep?
You know, I won't be. I can only hope that I'll see clips of this game. My brother scheduled his wedding in Boston.
Shameless.
October 26th.
I hope you, yo, Josh, come on. See clips of the wedding. This is a big game.
Hold on a second. Josh, how long has your family had Giants season tickets?
Since Giants Stadium opened.
And how long has Jonathan Berliner been alive? Not that long.
No, not as long. He's
So there you go. So there you go. I think you go to this game. You're 6-0 against the Cowboys, national TV.
Well, you know, the truth is I'm not sweating it because I'm sure they'll beat the Cowboys. I don't see keeping it together.
Wow, sweeps the Cowboys.
He's gonna run his mouth and get punched in the face, and he's already losing earrings all over the field.
7-0. You know, they're
weaker than they've been in years, Dallas. Just everything's up in the air.
What's your game plan for this game if it's close? Like, what are you gonna? You just checking on your phone? You have some sort of like?
What time does the wedding start? What time does the wedding start?
I don't know. I think it's like an early afternoon. It's because it's an out of town wedding. It's up in Boston, so I think it's gonna be an early afternoon situation. It's gonna be during the game. That's 100%.
Well, but the game's at 4:30.
We should explain to our listeners from not from our world. Out of town means not in New York.
Like, out of what town? Boston's a big town, yeah. Well, okay, but if the wedding starts at 1 or 2, then maybe it's done by 6 or 7 and you can catch the end of the game. Because remember, it starts at 4:30.
My game plan is I'll be live streaming your podcast to get the updates.
There we go. Are we going to be doing a live podcast on Sunday afternoons, Akiva?
Well, I think we could Periscope or Meerkat. It would be hard to podcast live.
From your war room. You got to hook up a war room.
Where is the wedding taking place? Is it at a hotel? Is it like what kind of television situation are you guys going to have there?
And maybe at like a country club or something. There's going to be a
bad
TV.
There might be no TVs there.
No, there'll be a TV in the bar. There'll be a TV. Who will have a TV?
It's going to be on television though. There's probably going to be a Patriots game on. It's going to be like New England at Green Bay.
Because it's Giants Cowboys. That's a national game. The whole country's going to see that game.
We'll see.
Wait, hold on. Let's.
Much Giants Cowboys can they watch?
Dallas at New York. It's the only other game at 4 o'clock that day is Oakland at San Diego on CBS.
This game is on in the whole country, including California, in New England.
Game is on everywhere. You know who will definitely have this game on? One of the valet guys is going to have a Verizon phone and he'll be watching it, on his phone on NFL Sunday Ticket. On Red Zone Channel. And by the way, when Red Zone Channel only has two games on days like this, two late games, they're basically just showing the whole game. So, just find somebody with a Verizon phone.
Yeah, but they give equal shrift to the Chargers-Raiders game as they do to the Giants-Cowboys game.
Well, I mean, they'll show key plays in that. You're not going to miss anything of consequence as long as you find someone with a Verizon telephone. And by the way, Verizon has not paid us for sponsorship yet, so I don't know why I've mentioned them 5 times in the last 2 minutes.
Shout out to Verizon.
All right, so here you go. You're 7-0 now. Now you go on a little road trip south. First at New Orleans.
Yeah, I mean this is a piece of cake. 7-0 going into New Orleans. They're not a football town. They're not a sports town. Are you kidding me? Place is going to be full of Giants fans. New Yorkers who are traveling down. New Yorkers who are going to pour in from Houston and from the environs. It's going to be crazy. It's going to be all Giants.
So you're predicting another win. You're predicting 8-0.
He's a fast quarterback on turf. It's gonna be ridiculous.
Now I think we're getting trolled, Chester.
Yeah, wait. So you're saying 8-0 now?
You're breaking it down, side by side with me.
All right. Okay. Week 9. Now you go to Tampa to face Jameis Winston.
Tampa's hot garbage.
Well, I was gonna say if you don't respect the Saints.
wait. Tell what's our Bucks fan's name? Kyle.
Yeah, well, the problem is our
Please apologize to Kyle right now, because he does not like when Floridians begin.
Akiva was shitting on the Dolphins, and Kyle took offense just as, as a Floridian.
But I wasn't clear. I meant, South Florida, but he thought I meant the whole Florida is Jewish hot garbage, because I used the same expression you did, but yeah, no.
I'm not an anti-Semite. I think everybody in South Florida is trash, whether they're Jewish or Cuban or American or whatever the hell they are.
No point. Now we're
Is Jameis going to be the quarterback in Week 9?
Presumably.
The Glendale State Penitentiary League.
He's shots fired. All right, so now you're 9-0.
I don't know.
9-0. And now you got another national TV game at home against the New England Patriots. Tom Brady's white whale. But he'll be back by then. He and Bill Belichick will be pissed. And what's happening for the 9-0 Giants going into the bye?
And who were Jim Nance and Phil Simms rooting for in this game?
Let's look at it here. Right, the Patriots. They're well coached. They've got the talent. They're not they're not fooling around. 3 times in a row that the Giants haven't lost them. They've got these guys' numbers. It's got to be a win. People forget the Patriots get fat against. They've gotten fat against the Triple AFC East for the last 15 years.
Chester, we may need a different Giants guest.
I'd just like to point out that during the Jets podcast, I said that Geno and Eli were very similar players.
very similar, right.
Now we have the Giants at 10-0 going into the bye week. There's been a lot of fans that have been up on their team, and Akiva and I keep saying, they're going to be on the cover of Sports Illustrated. I take that all back. The Giants are going to be on all the covers.
Every week, 10-0. You're going to have Eli. Odell Beckham's going to have his own perfume, and he's going to be dating Britney Spears and a Kardashian at the same time. All right, so you guys are 10-0. Much needed bye. You're tired from all that winning.
By November 15th, are you kidding me? It's going to be the Knicks on the cover. Rejuvenated and
Porzingis.
And ready to... Yeah, right. I couldn't remember his name.
Oh, man.
All right, well, we'll give you time to review before we bring you on our 30 NBA Fans in 30 Days podcast.
Okay, so you guys go to the Washington football team. And does this streak extend to 11-0?
Well, listen, they're coming off the bye. They'll have a chance to get healthy, to regroup, to heal.
Who needs
they were 10-0 without being healthy?
I think they'll be able. I think they'll be able to stand up to the formidable challenge that is the Washington Redskins.
Is that going to be RG3 or Kirk Cousins?
It might be neither of them.
Yeah, I thought Kirk Cousins is third string. I thought Colt McCoy is the backup right now.
Oh, Colt McCoy.
Cousins is terrible. Akiva is the only guy I know who thinks Kirk Cousins belongs in the NFL. And a couple of racist Washington fans, to be fair.
If I'm a team playing them, at this point I'm more scared of Cousins than RG3 because he can't run anymore.
All right, okay, fine. So now you're 11-0.
Oh, boy. And, Josh, I'm not going to be able to sleep this week. What's the Jets record coming into this game?
It's a classic trap game. Classic.
What's the Jets record? Are they also allowed to know? They have dual covers. Is it like Gino and Ryan Fitzpatrick and Eli? Like the brains and the brawn.
You know, when I was growing up, they had a story.
Did you just say that Eli has brawn? Have you seen Eli with a shirt off?
Eli's
the brains. Then.
Story in Sports Illustrated. This could be like a... But, you know, I actually think the Jets will surprise a lot of people. You know, like...
Wow.
I gotta tell you, like they can't. They've had some really terrible years. They've really showed nothing, and you don't want just want to look at a team and it's like they're promising a certain position, but like you figure, you know, like at a certain point, like when everything goes wrong in one year and they're just a terrible team, you know, in one year. I mean, I don't know that they can get worse than last year. So I think they'll surprise people. You know, everybody likes this new coach. But this isn't the Jets episode. But
I wish you could join us for that one though.
Is this
a win or a loss, JB?
It's a win. It's a win.
12-0. And listen, when the Giants and Jets play, we have a mutual friend. I think the three of us, John Krause, who frequently appears.
I've never heard of him, but I'll consider him my friend.
Oh, I thought he was in your fantasy football league.
I don't know who he is.
All right.
He's like a lovely guy.
He is. Well, he's a big Giants fan, and he frequently appears on ESPN
He's more of a pundit, really.
Yeah. Well, yeah, he appears on ESPN before Giants-Jets games to give his analysis. And when it's the 11-0 Giants facing the upstart Jets at like 7-4 or something, I guess Krause will have to go back on ESPN, and I think he will have one word, and that word will be Giants. And they'll be 12-0, according to Josh.
At this point, it's...
Berliner.
No doubt in my mind.
12-0, and is there a better place in the world to be at 12-0 than going to Miami with all those monstrous... old, decrepit 72 Dolphins, who I know you hate. You must hate them.
Well, everybody hates them.
They're going to be on the sideline.
Mercury Morris. The thing is, none of those guys were any good, and we've only heard of them because they clink champagne glasses every year when the last undefeated team goes down.
Bob Greasy and Zonka and Morris and all these monsters are going to be there.
It's on Monday Night Football.
And I'm going to turn from the previous week rooting against the Giants to the biggest Giants fan in the world because...
Really?
I mean, you want to see the Giants go
undefeated?
No, but I want to see the Dolphins not be the only undefeated team. It doesn't matter who. I hate that team more than any actual team. Like, I want to beat those guys up now.
Before we get to the game, I have a question. So you hate the Dolphins more than, like, the other New York team. In baseball, who do you hate more, the Yankees or, like, the Mets rival, the Braves or whatever?
I usually hate the team that's competing against the Mets more. Like, I hated the Braves... I hated the Phillies. I mean, they're obviously gross.
So you're not a big,
I hate the Marlins the most, but they're
easy
to hate.
You can always get up to hate San Francisco.
Yeah, I hate the Marlins the most.
Boy, so you really just hate Miami in general. Ellie Gray, please send your comments to Keith26 on Twitter.
I don't – like, the Heat are okay. I actually, like, kind of respected them I'm a Spurs fan when they were playing the Heat in the straight finals.
Wait, so the one team you don't hate in Miami is the team that everybody hated, the LeBron Heat? I mean
– because, like, that was, like legitimate, they actually did it. They're not like the Marlins.
Well, legitimately
that, like, stole...
by colluding together to put
some... fine. It was within the rules. I have no problem with the Florida Panthers. I'll be honest. 12-0 is
it.
I mean, the ratings for this game are going to be astronomical.
Sure, and the crowd is going to be 90% blue jerseys.
Even if you guys were 0-12, that would be the case.
Yeah, Miami fans are hot garbage, right?
They're hot garbage.
And it's 8:30 at night this game.
Yeah, they're already
at bedtime.
Well, no, because in Miami, either you have the senior citizens pass their bedtime, or you have the folks who are headed to South Beach. But by 8:30, 9 o'clock, they got to get ready because they got to go out in a couple hours. So,
oh boy, there's a lot of stereotypes going on.
Nobody's watching this game in Miami other than Giants fans.
Maybe I'll go to this game.
You should go.
You know what?
To make up for the fact that you missed the Dallas.
Totally serious. I'm actually going to be in Florida then. Josh, if you come down, I will go to this game with you.
I'll see you there.
Right now, the cheapest ticket is $174. So you guys
catch the red eye in the morning. Back up. I'll back.
It's Monday night. That's annoying. Yeah. All right. So what's happening though, Josh?
In Miami, it's a win. It's an easy
13-0.
Do you not think it's going to be a win?
You're the Giants expert.
We'll go to Miami and they'll win.
All right, 13-0. Wow.
Oh man.
Home against Charlotte. It's going to be cold. It's going to be windy. It's going to be mean. There's going to be a seat on the line. They're going to win.
By the way, I like how Josh just, you know, diminished a two-state franchise down to one city. They went from two states to one city. And by the way, there's no seed on the line. If you're 13-0, if you're 14-0, you've clinched the one seed by now.
Yeah. Now, are they resting Eli at 14-0?
Well, look, the Colts did that when they rested Peyton, which was so stupid.
They're not resting Eli because he's going for this record, right?
Now, do the Giants respect this record? I mean, they destroyed it on the other end.
Yeah, they beat the Broncos at 13-0 that year in 98.
I'm talking about Eli's games. He's played in 160 games.
One snapper limit.
Yeah, but he's never going to reach far. I mean, what, is he going to play for another 10 years and not miss a game?
Alexander, consecutive games.
Yes, I
Favre played consecutive games.
He has to play one snapper limit, and then someone else can come in.
Oh, you mean like a Jose Reyes situation?
Don't start firing shots at the Mets. Anyway. So you're 14-0, Chester. Forget about going to Miami. You guys should be going to Minnesota for this game.
Well, look, I mentioned on previous podcasts how terrible Eli's been against the Vikings. I'll just remind Josh, although I'm sure he knows, the Vikings, he has the second lowest quarterback rating against the Vikings as any team, only Baltimore's worse. He has 4 touchdowns and 15 turnovers in his career against the Vikings. But look, he's never been at the helm of a 14-0 team before.
You're drunk on your own success at this point, 14-0, Berliner.
Listen, at this point in the year, it could be. Could be.
All right, so what's happening?
Are you even going to work if you guys are 14-0? I feel like you're just floating in the street.
14-0, listen, business as usual. This is, you know.
stuff. All right, so what's happening on Sunday, December 27th at Minnesota?
Minnesota, it's going to be close. You know, Ziggy Wilf, he's my boy.
He's love his campus, great campus.
Listen, there's no bigger Giants fan in the country than Ziggy Wilf.
What?
No, that's true. He's a huge Giants fan.
Oh, is he really? He's a Giants fan?
Yeah. I mean, not anymore, but he was up until he bought the Vikings.
They're going to put him on an island and nuke it till it glows.
We got rid of that guy, by the way.
Oh, did you? I thought he was, suspended for, a week. The guy in Buffalo who punched a kid in the face.
Yeah, no, they didn't get rid of him at the time. They suspended him, but now he's gone, I think.
Oh, okay.
But they also got rid of Chris Cluey. All right.
You think I've heard of the punt?
All right, so what's happening in week 16? That's a win?
Oh, yeah.
Come on, cool. Chester.
Okay, so now we're on to week
16. Look for Ziggy to sabotage the he's going to
play. Oh, he's still a Giants fan. Wow. Yeah. I mean, we know he's not above sabotage.
Like the Gatorade.
All right, so now you're 15-0.
Week 17, after New Year's, at home against the Eagles, Tebow time.
Oh, it's Tebow time. I like how you pointed out it's after New Year's.
Look for Tebow to lose one of his first games under center in a long time.
So let's keep going. So you're 16-0.
Wait, is that we're putting this down, Josh? You officially, objectively think the Giants are going 16-0 this year?
Book it. You're here first.
Okay. Put it first, on the board. First round of the play. You know,
by the way, Patriots fans are salivating for that. The Patriots fans want that to happen.
Man.
You know
they want
do.
A piece.
Yeah, they want a piece. Absolutely.
All right. So second round of the playoffs after your bye, you guys host. Let's say the 5 seed who beats the 4 seed. So who is that? Is that the Arizona Cardinals?
No, that's the Vikings.
The Vikings are the 5 seed?
How are they hosting the 5 seed if they're the number 1 seed?
Well, because the 3 beat the 6.
Yeah.
Oh, my hypothetical.
So we're assuming so the Giants are 16-0. Seattle or Green Bay are the 2 and the 3, right? The NFC South garbage is the 4 seed. The Vikings beat them in the first round. In the second round, you're hosting the Vikings. What happens there? 41-0 again?
Viking, you know it. At home in the cold with the wind.
Yeah, but the Vikings also play in the cold now. Remember that.
Teddy Bridgewater
And Ziggy now, he's my guy.
All right, 17-0. NFC Championship game against either Seattle or Green Bay, presumably.
Let's say Seattle, but you're hosting them. I'm assuming they didn't go 16-0 and beat you guys for the tiebreaker.
Hosting Seattle with no Marshawn Lynch because he's running to the ground all year because they're afraid to throw after the Super Bowl?
Exactly.
Listen, it's an easy win. They're a tired team. They're easy out of gas.
Easy win. What's the score? What's the score there? That game.
24-10.
Okay, fair enough. And then who are you guys getting in the Super Bowl? Is it a Patriots rematch? Is it a Manning versus Manning game?
Yeah, you know, let's go Denver rematch.
Oh boy.
Yeah, those Super Bowls did not go well for the Broncos.
The Giants, 39-20.
Okay, fine. So it's Eli against Peyton.
In the big spot, we all know how Eli performs in the Super Bowl. We've all seen how Peyton performs in the Super Bowl.
This year.
And Peyton calls it a career.
Oh, so he retires his brother. It's a loser leaves town match. Peyton leaves town.
Peyton loses another Super Bowl. His third loss.
Are Archie and Olivia actively rooting for Eli in this game at 18-0?
No, I think they got to root for Peyton if it's his last game. And they want Payne to get a second Super Bowl.
I think they're rooting for Eli.
Wow.
Who does Cooper like more? Have we ever gotten to the bottom of that?
I think Archie's rooting for Payne now, you know, and Olivia's going with Eli. That's what it is.
Yeah, the mom roots for the baby. That makes sense.
They're probably not even sitting together.
Oh, boy. Are they divorced at that point in your predictions?
No.
Why do we have to sow discord in the Manning family?
American royalty.
Yeah.
But what about Cooper?
Nobody gives a shit about Cooper.
Cooper's still punching a clock. What does he do, Cooper? He's probably like...
No, his dad's rich. He probably doesn't do anything.
He was a wide receiver.
Cooper Manning has his own Wikipedia page. It's a little silly, if you ask me.
Is the first line mentioned his familial connections?
Yeah, he's the oldest son of Archie Manning, the brother of current professional football players, Peyton and Eli. We're going to have to update that in February when Peyton retires, former football player.
Oh.
But he had spinal stenosis, and now he works for Howard Weil as an energy trader. So that's a real job.
Yeah,
it's probably a no-show job, but it's a real job.
His name has a great Dave Brown. I don't know if you remember, he was a quarterback for the Giants. And then
forget
Dave Brown.
I had a couple friends who worked with him.
Like
actually,
a hedge fund or something.
Yeah, I knew people who worked with him.
Yeah.
All right, we're past the hour mark. You know, our Giants fans are drunk with excitement at this 19-0 season. So, Josh, thank you for joining us. Josh is on Twitter at Josh Berliner, but that's Josh with a G, so it's really Gosh Berliner.
Yeah, why do you spell it like that?
You know, I work for a foreign company, and they're not too sharp on their spelling. So for the first several years, all my paychecks and health insurance cards came misspelled that way, and I thought it was a great way to help get my brand out there and to fly under the radar.
So it helped you.
There, yeah. Exactly. And I got to say, when I was in ninth grade, I had a teacher who was of the same nationality as Josh's employers. And I was living in Toronto at the time. And he gave us a homework assignment, and he had a number of hypotheticals. And he made the same mistake because in his hypotheticals, he kept referring to the local baseball team as the Toronto Blue Jays, which as 13- and 14-year-old boys, we thought was quite hilarious, of course.
Oh, my God. I just want to do one quick stone cold lock here. Aside from the Giants going all the way, there's one surefire bet in the NFL every year. Do you guys have the Super Bowl odds in front of you?
Yes, I do.
What are the odds for the Redskins to win the Super Bowl?
Well, first of all, we're gonna have to beep that out because you just
said that.
No, I'm joking. But Washington's odds are 100-1.
I have a 100-1 also.
Well, we missed the boat. Last year was 50-1. The best bet in the NFL every year is against the Washington football team.
How do you bet against that?
Wait, so you bet 100-1?
I'm free money, I'm telling you.
Are you betting on the Redskins to not win the Super Bowl?
Can you bet the reverse futures? Can I say, I'm putting 100 down, I want to win 1.
You cannot.
Josh, that bet's only one way.
You can bet on the other 31 teams to win, but that's not really a money winner unless...
Oh, you got to bet on all 31, I see, yeah.
Yeah.
Sorry, I missed all the Atlantic City Bachelor parties. I'm not... You know, some of us are fans from the heart, not from the...
Why weren't you at the bachelor party? Were you not invited?
But there's no sports gambling in Atlantic City. You got to go to Vegas for that, right?
Yeah.
You asked if he was not invited.
I'm bachelor sure I was.
Party?
I'm sure I was.
Berliner? Let me see what his excuse was.
No, I went. I must have had an excuse.
Yeah, why weren't you there? I wasn't invited at all. We got to get to this next.
Akiva, as we've put on record on this podcast previously, I've only met you in my life for a total of 10 seconds.
I know, but I feel like now I don't think I'm in bachelor party territory, but I think if you were getting married, you'd have to invite me at this point.
Did Kornhauser go to the bachelor party?
No, he did not.
That's a shock. Let's just rip Kornhauser for a half hour.
No, but he's a big AC guy. So
yeah, but he's also a big flake out at the last second guy. Oh, I see. Oh, Stuart sent me an email and said Kornhauser's not responding. Can you ask him what his story is? Well, Kornhauser never responds.
Well, that's why he's not in the league this year, because he hasn't paid up for the last 3 years. And this year, the commissioner reached out to him to pay up. He never got back to him, so the guy just moved on.
I'm not even sure if he knows he's out of the league.
I asked Commissioner Klein. I said, what did Kornhauser say when you told him he's on the league? I never told him. He never got back to me.
So he's probably just going to show up for the draft. I mean, I deleted him from the league today.
He doesn't show up to drafts. Listen, he has people. I drafted for him in that league 1 year.
Oh, you like to brag about that, because it was one good season.
Yeah, they went 11-2, and he gave me no credit, of course, and so God struck him down, and they lost in the championship game.
That was incredible. That was really something else.
Does he even make any like roster updates during the season? Does he set his lineup even?
I think he does until he's eliminated, yeah. I don't know if it's him or somebody else. Why would you just bash at Kornhauser? I feel like he's got to come on and defend himself.
Yeah, let's send him an email. He'll get back to us.
Yeah, well, we already have an Eagles fan lined up, but again, that would involve him committing to something and then actually following through on it.
It's not like he's a janitor, guys.
What does being a janitor have to do with anything?
Oh, I guess I'm insulting. I'm just saying, like, his schedule is a little more, you know. I don't know. I don't know what I'm saying. It's late.
Oh, no. Yeah, I think he blames his schedule as the reason, but for his. All right, anyway.
What kind of doctor is he?
He's an emergency room, emergency medicine doctor.
Oh, there's no emergencies there. He's got plenty of time. There's yes. no emergencies yeah, in the exactly. emergency room. It's, oh, you're just there.
Exactly. You're there. You deal with other people's emergencies. You go home, and then you get on your podcast, and you respond to your fantasy drafts.
Sounds pretty chill.
September 13th at 8:30. There's no doubt in my mind he'll be working on the job.
Wait, what's that? Oh, is that the Eagles Giants game?
You bet it is. If there's a football game on, Kornhauser's. If the Eagles have skin in the game, he's on call.
There you have it. We have gone deep, deep, deep into the Giants and other topics with Josh Berliner. But you know they deserve at least an hour when they're going 19-0 this year. Josh, thanks for joining us once again. It's Gosh Berliner on Twitter. Oh my gosh, the Giants are going 19-0, says our guest today.
Hugo Alexander, thank you.
This was an honor.
Yeah, just to speak to the fan of the first 19-0 team in history, I do feel like it's an honor for us. Thank you for joining us, and we'll be back soon to discuss the Houston Texans.
Good night. Anyway, bye-bye. Good night.
So thank you for that, Senior Hinos.
Sure. Do I get a gift bag?
We didn't even mention Henry Onoski, my favorite Giant.
Oh, wait. Do you honestly think they're going 19-0? I don't understand. Like, you've never been like.
That was great. He was strong. I really like that. But I feel like
he was very straight. He was totally serious the way he was talking.
You played it straight. I feel like the first round of playoffs, you should have been like, no, they're gonna lose. Like, they're not so good.
Akiva, I think I don't think he was playing us. I think that's what he expects.
He's still here, yeah. No, so I really never looked at the schedule too closely. The Dallas game, I'm sure they'll shit the bed. But then they really have one.
Wait, I hope you're still recording. We bust them.
Oh, yeah. I click stop.
They really have some soft teams coming up. I mean, Buffalo.
Well, when you're good, every team. This is what I always say. Like, my grandfather will call me up and be like, well, we get the Titans and the Bills twice and the Jaguars. I'm like, yeah, but they're looking at their schedule and they're saying, oh, we got the Jets twice. But you when can, you're good, you when you're like, a Giants who can move the ball, then every game is winnable.
I'll give you my real rundown. You can hit record. We'll do like the after.
No, I'm too tired.
No, I think that was gold. That was the best one we've done, Josh.
Dallas, they lose. Atlanta, they lose. Redskins, they I want to say lose to the Redskins, but they're so bad. Washington. So they beat Washington. They beat Buffalo. San Francisco is terrible. They beat San Francisco. They're 3-3.
I can't believe that game's on Sunday night. What are they doing given the Niners?
Lose to Philly.
I don't know. The Niners are also on prime time against the Vikings. It's very odd.
Yeah.
They're
you know what? Not everyone had retired when they made the schedule.
Yeah, but Jim Harbaugh's gone.
Now.
Yeah, it's true.
They lose to the Saints. They're 3-5. They beat Tampa. They're 4-5. They beat New England. They're 5-5. They beat the Redskins. They're 6-5.
Oh, my God.
They beat the Jets 7-5. They beat Miami. They lose. And they lose the last three. They could be 8-8 this year.
Berlin, this is the third one we did in a row.
Yeah, we've been doing this for like 4 hours. You know who else is very well aware of that? My wife, who came and gave me a dirty look a minute ago. So I'm going
to
hang up.
You said she went to sleep.
Yeah, I know. I thought so. Until she
it was just that was just for the cameras.
No, she poked her head around. Yeah, I thought she did also when she left me half a peach. Who eats half a peach? But anyways, I got to go deal with her. So, I got to go. spend time with my loving wife.
Have a mango first. Okay.
Josh isn't up to date on the Seinfeld podcast.
I think it's just not just the Seinfeld podcast. I think if you just watched the show, you'd get that joke 100%.
Who ran into Jerry Seinfeld? Who was hanging out where? Was this in the Beresford?
Oh, what, he was giving you bologna sandwiches?
Oh, no, it's from an episode. It's from the puffy shirt.
The mango episode. No, it's from the mango episode.
The bologna sandwiches or puffy shirt?
No, the mango was from the mango, though.
Yeah, the mango is mango, but the bologna is the puffy shirt.
Krauss just said to me, hey, is there a place people can listen to or download this podcast? I'm like, no, we're just doing it for ourselves.
It would be funny. We're really underground.
Tell him to go into the time machine.
Yeah, we got to get that information. All right, okay, Josh, have a good night. Akiva, have a good night.
Bye.
Bye.